A very warm welcome to our worship this evening from the churches of Harton and Cleedon Park. Whoever you are, wherever you are, if you're with us regularly or if this is your very first time, thank you for joining in worship with us. We are very glad that you are here. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Grace and peace to you from God. May he fill us with truth and joy. We are here not because we have found God, but because God has called us here. God calls us to accept the cost and joy of discipleship and to be his co-workers in serving the whole human family. The call of God is also a promise. God has promised forgiveness of sins, fullness of grace, courage to seek justice and peace and eternal life with God. Blessing and honour and glory and power be to God, who will never forget us. Amen. God of steadfast love, you have shaped the world in wonder and mystery. We marvel at the complexity and detail of life itself. We are awestruck by the vastness of the scale of the universe and the wonder of life in the gaze of a microscope. despite the mind-boggling beauty and infinite care of creation of which you have made us part, you are no absent watchmaker or dispassionate scientist. God of tenderness, we thank you that you care for each of us individually and intimately. We thank you that you know us through and through, and yet you love us. Despite our failures and fickleness, despite our haphazard responses and our lack of attention, despite our sullenness and self-centeredness, you love us. You love us so much. You came among us, showed us a new way, died for us, and offered us your forgiveness. In the quietness of this space, we offer you our lives, messed up and messy as they are. God of life, we place ourselves before you as children, made new and eager to learn more of your marvellous works and wonderful ways. Breathe into us the refreshment of your word, as once again we recall your sacred story. Make us open and pliable, that we might creatively meet the future. Stimulate our being, that we might be totally present in the moment. Keep our hearts pounding and our veins surging with the blood of new life. Make us ever aware that we are children of your love, and you will never forget us. Amen. Let us love one another, for love is from God. Those who love are born of God and know God, but those who do not love know nothing of God, for God is love. Those who dwell in love are dwelling in God, and God in them. There is no room for fear in love. Perfect love banishes all fear. We love because God first loved us. If we do not love those whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. Let us love one another, for love is from God. Lord, in your Son, you show us how to greet the stranger and the outcast with compassion. As we seek to exercise a ministry of welcome in your name, we ask for a spirit of acceptance and tolerance which reflects your love and grace for all your people.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise. Your word is a lantern to our feet and a guide upon our path.
A reading from the book of Hebrews. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Your word is a lantern to our feet and a guide upon our path.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew. Glory be to you, O Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Today is the start of Prisons Week. We've used the word lockdown a lot recently, haven't we? For a word that up until the beginning of 2020 remained firmly in the language of prisons, we now hear it and use it every day. It is a word that has come from prisons, but many people don't know that. When a prison is in lockdown, it is usually because a major incident has occurred, and all the prisoners are locked in their cells for a period of time so the officers can deal with the situation. In prisons, lockdowns can last for a few hours, days, or even weeks should the need occur. It certainly doesn't last for months on end. As I speak, our men and women in prison are serving their sentences in a lockdown like no other. For many, they have not had any visits from their families since March, and while some prisons have now been able to reopen for those visits, many still will not accept children in their visits halls. Visits that can take place are having to remain strictly within social distance guidelines. No hugs, no embraces, no holding hands. I know that the subject of prisons and prisoners is one that can elicit strong emotions, and most of us will probably never see the inside of a prison, either as a prisoner, a visitor, as a member of staff, or as a volunteer. I had never set foot in a prison until I was in my 40s and was seeking guidance about where I should be serving. At the time, no one was more surprised than me when the idea of prison ministry kept coming up, and I found myself asking God, "Are you sure you mean me?" It became increasingly clear that this was the path I was on, and my journey into prisons began as a volunteer with the charity Prison Fellowship, taking part in prayer meetings, helping on a restorative justice programme, and joining in worship in the chapel of my local prison, to a job working for the organisation. I feel very fortunate to have had the privilege of going into many prisons, and I'd like to share with you some of the questions I asked of Darren, who was very dear to our hearts and who spent many years in prison. I began by asking him how it felt and how he coped with the knowledge that he would be spending a long time in prison. On the one hand, he said, it felt good because it got him away from the streets and the situation he was in. But of course, he had lost his freedom, created a victim, and he was miserable because of what he had done. He knew that if alcohol hadn't killed him, something else would have. As he says, it's a big, bad world out there, and there's always someone bigger and badder than you. It felt like a dark cloud hanging over him, and self-harm became a coping mechanism. I asked Darren, was there anything that helped in the situation? And he says he finally got to the point where he dropped to his knees and asked God for help. A few days later, an officer came and asked him why he was doing the things that he did. Really, it was because he had no family. He was facing a long time in prison and he just wanted to die. The officer told him that she was going to get him a job and a prison visitor, and he felt at last someone was listening. He did start having visits and letters, and he says that when letters came under his door, it made him smile, knowing that someone outside did care about him. There was an officer too who put cuttings about points to ponder from the Reader's Digest under his door, and he would think about what these cuttings meant to him. He started to help himself by accepting the help he was offered, because he realised that in the end he was the only one who could make the changes that he needed to make. I asked Darren if there was anything he would like people to know about prison life. And he said yes, although it's true that you can have a PlayStation and a TV, it's not all easy. You have to be a strong-minded person, because when that door bangs shut, it makes you jump every time, and you're on your own with your thoughts. I finished by asking Darren how his life is now. When he was in prison, getting ready to be released, he just couldn't think how his life would be. He's not where he wants to be in terms of employment, but he's a long way from where he was. Like everyone in the world, he says he could be a better person. But if he was in the same room now with the old him, he doesn't think he'd recognise himself. Although he is still the same person, he does things differently and thinks differently. He could certainly never have imagined that he would be living with his own little family and would have the support of people who love and care for him. You may have picked up the prayers for Prisons Week if you've been in church today, but if you don't have a copy, they're available online at prisonsweek.org and they'll be shared on our Facebook page during the week. Prison Fellowship believes that all people are created in God's image and that no life is beyond God's reach. As the founder of Prison Fellowship, Chuck Colson, was fond of saying, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross." Prison Fellowship believes that Jesus offers hope, healing, and a new purpose for each life. He can make even the most broken people and situations whole again, replacing the cycle of crime with a cycle of renewal. You can find out more about the work of Prison Fellowship at prisonfellowship.org.uk. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing turns his face away as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Christ came and proclaimed the gospel, peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve. To give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for reward, save that of knowing that I do your will. Amen.
God of compassion, we thank you that in Jesus you came to share our life. Like a shepherd searching for a lost lamb, you look for us when we wander. When you find us, you throw a party in our honour. Fill us now with your spirit, that we might be channels of your tender care for those who are broken-hearted or wandering. We pray for those who feel out of sight and out of mind, the lonely in the midst of our communities, those for whom family has broken down, the ones who feel isolated by bereavement or mental health issues, the ones who find it hard to open up for fear of judgment. God of the lost and lonely, speak peace and healing, we pray. We remember those who seek to go unnoticed and forgotten, those who carry heavy burdens of guilt for the past, those who know their activities cause pain and distress to others, those who feel insignificant and useless. God of the lost and lonely, speak peace and healing, we pray. We remember those who are in prison. In the words of the Prisoner's Week prayer, we ask, Lord, you offer freedom to all people. We pray for those who are held in prison. Break the bonds of fear and isolation that exist. Support with your love prisoners, their families and friends, prison staff, chaplains, and all who care. Heal those who have been wounded by the activities of others, especially the victims of crime. Help us to forgive one another, to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly together with Christ in his strength and in his spirit, now and every day. Amen. In quietness, we bring those who are on our hearts and ask your blessing. We remember those who would lead our society, our nation, our world. We pray for an openness to kingdom values where the vulnerable are remembered and cared for. We pray for a commitment to justice and peace and a turning away from hostility and violence. We pray for the establishment of your kingdom, joining in the words you taught us, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
God of power, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. May the gifts of your spirit equip us to serve and worship you, now and always. Amen. To a troubled world, peace from Christ. To a searching world, love from Christ. To a waiting world, hope from Christ. Creator of all life, you have given our world bountiful blessings. We thank you that we can share in this goodness. We bring to you portions of what we have been given, our time, the fruits of our labours, our commitments. We dedicate these to you now and commit to loving and serving your kingdom. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. God sends us into the world to accept the cost and to discover the joy of discipleship. Go carrying the peace of Christ, the love of God, and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, knowing God is with you, now and always. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. I'll stand.